You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
Last week, NZ First MP and Government Minister Shane Jones was criticised over using derogatory language towards Indian immigrants. These comments were condemned by the National Party and Christopher Luxon, who labelled NZ First's belief system as anti-immigrant and said Jones was scaremongering. This was not the extent of criticism between NZ First and National last week, however, with tensions between the two sparking after NZ First leader Winston Peters called Luxon out for not giving coalition partners prior notice of his confidence vote during a National Party caucus meeting last week. In turn, these comments have been dismissed, and Finance Minister Nicola Willis and Luxon have accused NZ First and Peters of putting Labour governments, like Ardern's, into power. Despite all this, however, Peters has insisted the coalition is as stable as a three-legged stool. Last week also saw the Treasury announce that they would revisit their forecasts for the economy ahead of the impending government budget. The government also announced some changes to the way infrastructure is run by the government, giving more power to the Independent Infrastructure Commission, increasing their oversight, and changing the way that ministers receive advice and information. This week, I spoke with National MP Ryan Hamilton about these developments, beginning with Shane Jones's comments. Last week, derogatory comments were made by Government Minister and NZ First Shane Jones towards immigrants. What is the government's stance on these comments?
Well, we don't accept, you know, some of the language and the way they went about making those statements, obviously. You know, we think you can have a difference of opinion around policy and process, but you can do it in a way that sort of preserves everyone's mama.
And looking particularly at Shane Jones as a prominent member of one of the coalition parties, does a potential kind of pattern of making certain comments affect at all the government's positions towards next election and going into a coalition?
Oh, I think we're a broad church. I mean, I think New Zealand has a pretty good idea of who Winston Peters is and Shane Jones, and, you know, they are essentially a populist party, and they, you know, have made some strong rhetoric around immigration and, you know, adjacencies around that. So I think their supporters will largely remain their supporters, and those on the fringe might reconsider their alliances, though. But I don't think as a coalition we can be, you know, wholly made responsible for each other. It's like, you know, essentially we're family, and you might not always agree with your mum or your dad or your brother, but as long as we can agree on the big rocks that take New Zealand forward.
Right, but going forward into, obviously for this current coalition government, you know, it's just about kind of getting through and working together. But looking forward towards next election, when you get to make these calls again about who you want to work with, will these comments and this rhetoric play a role in whether or not National will work with the NZ First?
I think we're a broad church. I mean, those decisions are ultimately, you know, for the leaders of the party to work through. But I think, you know, we've got to be adults and appreciate we're going to have disagreements at the margin. And that we can have robust conversations and try and set the ground rules for what is and is not appropriate. But I think at this stage of the election cycle, you're going to see a little bit of argy and bargy as, you know, the three parties on the right will try to win votes off each other effectively. So I think there'll be a little bit of that. But hopefully we can keep it in check.
Moving on slightly, last week, NZ First leader Winston Peters criticised Prime Minister Christopher Luxon for not giving prior notice to his coalition partners that he was going to call a vote of no confidence at the National Caucus meeting. What is the government's stance on whether or not that was something that the Prime Minister needed to do?
Well, obviously that's National Party business, frankly, so I don't think it's appropriate for him to comment on National Party business and stuff which happens in each other's caucus. That's obviously highly confidential to the party.
And looking at comments made the other way, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon disavowed the comments made by Shane Jones's scaremongering, and Nicola Willis, importantly, Called out Winston Peters for often kind of playing a kingmaker role that favoured the Labor government in coalition making. Are these things that the National Party is standing by?
I think all New Zealanders are wary of New Zealand First, and particularly those on the centre-right, where, you know, he supported a government with Jacinda Ardern in 2017. And, like I said, you know, as we get towards election time, all those nuances and distinctions are going to be made, they're going to be laid to bear, and ultimately the New Zealand public's going to have to choose who they trust to get on with the job.
Winston Peters also reassured Aotearoa last week that the coalition was as stable as a three-legged stool. Is that the stance kind of going into this final stretch before the election, that yes, this coalition is stable?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we've shown, you know, over 2.5 years, we've delivered. Sure, there's been, you know, differences at different times, but that's all built into the agreements, you know, the right to disagree, but still hold, you know, government and reflect, you know, at a respectful coalition. So certainly I think New Zealand can be very comfortable that three parties know how to get on and govern.
Moving on, last week the Treasury moved to revisit their forecasts for the economy ahead of the upcoming budget. What does this revisiting actually mean? Why is this happening?
Oh, I think it's fairly obvious that the fuel crisis has made things a lot more challenging, and, you know, Treasury's got to, as does the Reserve Bank, obviously factor in short, medium and long-term implications. And the challenge, of course, with the fuel crisis is it's multi-pronged. Like, we don't know how long, you know, this challenge will last for, and even if it ended quickly, there's still a long tail. But putting even the duration of it aside, there's the first, second order, third order complications of how it affects potentially shipping routes and industry, not directly, like, not just fuel and diesel and transport and everyday Kiwis, but, you know, the oil components of plastics and manufacturing and all those flow-on effects, what those implications might be, how restrictive they'll be on certain parts of the economy, and how that might drive up or impact on inflation. So, yeah, there's a lot for them to consider and to weigh up, and obviously try and create a measured response too that can sort of see through the short term and still provide that monetary stability over the medium term.
And looking to the government specifically, how does the government kind of expect these revisited forecasts to influence plans going into this budget?
Obviously, it's very real. I mean, we've constantly said, you know, we want to take those lessons from Treasury through the COVID period and offer targeted, timely and temporary responses rather than sort of broad brush policy. And we've got, you know, our budget, I think, literally in a month's time. And so it'll be having a real impact, I'm sure, on some of those policy announcements. It's a balance that we've got of maintaining fiscal discipline and, you know, but trying to stimulate an economy, but, yeah, making sure we don't overcook scenarios or forecasts or undercook. So there'll be a real, obviously it's got to be a real marriage between the budget and fiscal policy and monetary policy as well. So it's be very interesting over the next few weeks.
And finally, the government has moved to make changes to kind of shift where power and oversight lies for big infrastructure projects, moving a lot of the oversight to the Independent Infrastructure Commission. What is the government hope to achieve with these changes?
One thing that I think governments over the last, you know, few decades, you know, are criticised of is trying to be more bipartisan on infrastructure readiness and commitments. And I guess this brings a bit of arm's length to the politics of it, where you've got an independent commission set up that is purely looking at, you know, business case, you know, financial costing, benefit, you know, the benefit cost ratio, and trying to provide that, just that evidence-based analysis that government or ministers can pick up, regardless of, you know, which colour flag they fly. And I think that it's the biggest thing that our economy needs in terms of, you know, long-term planning, because obviously a lot of, whether it's roading or bridges or, you know, transport corridors, needs long-term planning. The companies required to deliver it have a lot of capital-intensive investment. So we are really trying to create a pathway forward for the next 10, 20, 30 years that, and it provides New Zealand too, that there's a little bit less political uncertainty in the room. Obviously, National had the Roads of National Significance in 2017. That got cancelled by the government, and then Labor government, and then when we got back in 23, we reinstated that. So I guess we're trying to avoid that flip-flopping and actually say, look, here's the big rocks that we can agree on, and let's have some independence to the process for the sake of, you know, New Zealand's construction sector, the economy, and Kiwis.
And just kind of finally, how you mentioned it early on there, but how will this affect how ministers specifically kind of engage and interface with infrastructure?
Well, I think there's always going to be a political push to something if it's a particular, you know, like area of significance, like say a second harbour crossing or, you know, something where there's a population density or strong demand for it. And normally with these types of things, there's a letter of expectations from the relevant minister and that sort of thing, which can give the organisation a bit of a steer. So there'll always be a degree of political noise. But by having that separation, like you have with the Reserve Bank or other government entities, it just creates a bit more of an independence and a chance for projects to stand up, you know, on their own credentials rather than, you know, political flavour of the day. So I think that's a really positive thing.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. That was National Party MP Ryan Hamilton on Shane Jones and Winston Peters' comments last week, the Treasury revisiting forecasts, and the infrastructure oversight changes.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Ryan Hamilton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.